because he is faithful. We must just thank you for all the things what he's doing in our church. And then it's still the big things what is coming. We mustn't fear for nothing because he's together with us. He will straighten our road. He will do everything for us. He says to Isaiah 59 verse 1, our arm is not too short to help, and your ears is not too tall to hear. Amen.
Anyone else that has got a testimony to share, something on your heart, a word, something? There's someone running. I like that.
Okay. 2 weeks ago, I was in Swakopmund, and I visited the Swakopmund church. Oh, okay. Theo Potgieter gave the message that Sunday, and it was just about how we are so, at times, so caught up in our own lives, selfish in a way, just thinking about what we don't have, what's lacking in our lives. You know, we lose focus on God. And the two questions that were posed were, where did I come from and why am I here? From what situation did God deliver you? You must think back to how your life was without Christ. And also, why you're here is that you have a greater purpose than just expecting blessings. You have to focus on the kingdom of God and spread the love and, you know, bring people closer to God. And the funny thing is, I was going through such a tough time the past weeks or the weeks before that, and what he preached on was exactly what the Lord has laid on my heart. It was an excellent confirmation of that. And I just feel like we should always give glory to our God, with our testimonies, however little it seems to you. I think we should all come up front and just, whatever the Lord has told you or has done for you in your life, you must mention it. Let everybody hear it, because then it will give glory to God. That's what we're here to do, and that's what you should do. Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, I also want to share a testimony. This morning has been a great time with the church. I've been looking to experience God for a long while now, and yes, this morning just I repented to God and I said yes. My focus was on myself, and now I want to bring glory to you. And I declared it with my mouth, and then I just worshipped Him, and God came through, and God let me experience His love, and it overcomes every fear, everything. And yes, I can just glorify God and praise Him.
Okay, what happened to me last week was like this. I had a lot of friends at school. And then these friends came up to me, they're all gossiping and stuff like that. And then I took it up to my colleague, my teacher at school. And then she was like, no, don't do anything bad. Just pray for them. I took it up to Rosalia, if you know Rosalia who is. And then she was like, no, just pray for them. Even if they are doing any harm to you, even if they are abusing you, just pray for them. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. And then that night, when I went back to the hostel, I started praying for them. And then the next morning, when I went to school, they were like, morning, Eva. I'm like, oh, morning. And then I was like, wow, the prayer really worked. So I just want to say that let's pray. Let's pray for our enemies. Even if they do any abuse, even if they slap you or whatever, even your friend doesn't like you, just pray for them. Believe me, the next morning when you come to school, the next day when you go to work, that prayer will work, and they will even greet you. Even if they don't greet you, they will greet you. That's
Amen.
All.
Thank you.
Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you for sharing. That is really, really encouraging always to hear people interacting and testifying and sharing word. So it's also our privilege. We have our fourth and our last mission team here. It's Warren and his team from Pretoria. You guys can, you already saw them in the worship team. You can please come and stand here, queue up. We've got a very good relationship with Shofar, our sister church there in Pretoria. This is now the fifth team that I have sent in the last, I think, 4 or 5 years. Really been a blessing to us to receive you guys here and see you serve and being part of church and family. They will, you'll see them still a lot in the next week. They will also be here for our Blaze conference. So I'm just going to give to Warren to introduce his team to you, and then one person is also going to share a testimony.
Amen. Wow, such an amazing privilege just to be with you here. It's just during worship, you guys have such an amazing heart for worship. You really touched my heart as well during worship, and like, it's just so incredible to see so many voices just raised, just as we sung, singing together with one voice, just proclaiming the glory of God. And yeah, it's just amazing to be here again, seeing some fellow faces again, people I haven't seen for ages. Auntie Doris, it's been so great to see you. But yeah, just thank you so much for opening your hearts and doors to us to just come here. We really appreciate it. Our team consists of mainly students. A few of them are working. The first person on the side of me is Josh. He's co-leading the team with me. Incredible guy as well. And KR, I think you guys saw him on the djembe there, busy rocking it out. He's just helping us a bit out with finances, in charge of that. A mechanical engineer, also a great guy. We've got Hayden on the side of him. Hayden's he's in charge of worship for us at the moment. Just while on the team, he's got such an incredible heart just to want to bring the presence of God wherever we go. And next to him, we've got Esty. She's been in charge of our dancing. She's a speech therapist person, just has such an amazing smile and heart to impart. Henry on the side of her, she's in charge of our food, very important, especially when there are 8 guys in a team. So we're just very thankful for her. Next to her, we have Neil, also amazing guy, just loves reaching out to people, incredible heart for the youth. Next to him, we've got Jace. He comes all the way from Rwanda. He's been in Pretoria for the last few years. Also just such an amazing guy to speak to. It's just incredible to see how God can really just break any boundaries to make a friendship, to bridge communication. And it's been amazing to walk a journey with him. Next to him, we've got Heinrich. He's in charge of just the medical side for us, and he's been doing a lot of the photography as well. I think he really loves that. But then next to him, we've got Paul. And Paul's just been helping us out with transport, and I think you guys obviously heard him speak a little bit earlier. But that's the team in short. Just to tell a little bit more about missions in his own testimony, I think Josh is going to just say a couple of words.
Okay, team, you can go sit down if you want. Okay, I'll try and sum it up in a few small sentences. It's not very easy. Once I get going, I struggle to stop. But I think this is your last service, so I've got plenty of time. That was just a joke. Anyway, so if I had to sum missions up, for me, there's a couple of purposes in why I'm here. And one of them is just to, when I leave Windhoek, I want Windhoek to have such a passion for Jesus that it just changes everything automatically. And I really just want Jesus to be seen and Jesus' character just to be revealed. And if we look at the Bible, what did Jesus? Jesus really came to serve. So for me, I think that's pretty good goal to be, chief servant. So really just being here to come and serve, and not just to serve, but really just to see the Holy Spirit move and just work in us. And, just to see people get saved, people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifting is like a muscle. You have to exercise it. And when you step out and you do missions and you go, I mean, sometimes it's tough because you have to consider time and money. But I think this is for someone here, that time will be multiplied and your money will be multiplied. Step out in faith. Okay, God will always come through. He's very faithful. So just a couple of testimonies. Yesterday we did SOS at a mall. So practically we pray in the beginning and then we go out and we just go. We paired up two, and we just go where God leads us. And if God says pray for the sick, you pray for the sick. If He says baptize a guy, you baptize him. And amongst many testimonies, a guy got healed from pain in his ankle. A guy got baptized in the Holy Spirit. A couple of people said they're going to be coming to Shofar here in Windhoek. So we're really expecting, really faithful for them. And then the testimony that I'm going to elaborate on a little bit is myself and Esty, the amazing lady in our team, we were walking and God just touched my heart and said, go to Haifa Corporation. And I didn't even know where it was. So I asked a person in JJ's and he told me where it was. So I went there, and as I was walking there, God just told me a lady in green with something wrong with her hand. So then Esty looks at me and she says, so who are we looking for? So then I was a bit like doubting myself. So I just like, I don't know, we just go. But meanwhile, I did know. God told me very clearly. And so I walked in, and as I walked in, there was a lady with green. And I went and I looked at her hands, and I couldn't see anything. So I was like, no, maybe I just heard wrong. So I walked past, you know how you just try and, you know, wiggle your way through. Then I walked back, and Essie's like, hey, there's Tani Maria. And apparently, the team met her at the orphanage the day before. But I didn't meet her. So I went to her, and I was like, okay, God, clearly you want me to speak to her. So we went to her, and we just greeted her, and I met her. And then I just asked her, I said, Tani Maria, is there any pain that I can pray for? And immediately she just started tearing up and was just like, you know, almost starting to cry. And she said that my one knee is a new knee. In other words, she's had an implant in it. And the other knee, she has to have an implant in. So she still has to have the operation. And she's like, but I don't have time for it. I don't have time to rest for 3 months because I have to go to Germany. So I just said to her, I'm like, okay, can I pray for you, please? And she's like, no, you know, my friend is just buying stuff. I'm like, it's fine, 30 seconds, quickly, please. And so I bent down and I started praying for her knee. And as I started praying, it was like this overwhelming feeling of just being hot. Like, I just started sweating and a bit disgusting, but I was really like boiling in that instance. And then I stood up before I could say anything. I'm telling you, just said to me, my knee, it got really hot. Like hot. So obviously I got excited. I'm like, I know hot is good. Anyway, so yeah. So then I took her email address and said, I want to contact you, Tani Maria, so we can actually tell your testimony in full confidence that you were healed. So then we said, okay, and we stayed a bit behind her. And Tani Maria, I need to show you how she started walking. So Tani Maria started walking in front of us, which was very like joyous type walking. Then she stops, and I didn't know this. She stops, she looks back at us and says, can you see I'm walking? I'm healed. And I was like, what? That's awesome. And apparently, the day before, she'd really been limping, like struggling. And now she wasn't just walking, she was like almost bouncing. Like, and it just shows how faithful God is. And if you step out, He will be there and He will go with you. And yeah, it's just an encouragement to go.
Thank you so much. That was really inspiring. And I think somewhere in October, we've got a gap in the preaching roster. We'll keep you posted, we'll let you know. Nevertheless, it's wonderful to have all of you here in church with us, especially the mission team. Awesome mission teams are always just such a blessing, and to hear the testimonies and what God's been doing through you and traveling all the way, that's really awesome. And I also want to just extend, remember next week this time, we have the Ablaze conference here. There will be a praise and worship on this Friday evening. The whole Saturday will be the conference itself. Sunday morning there will be one church service at 9 o'clock. So especially the young people, there's a guy, Paul, you know him, okay, speak to him about the conference and arrangements and etc. We really want you guys to be here as well. You are most welcome. It will be great to have you here. And something that's really so wonderful, something that I like about our church that I really love is, you know, on I think it was almost Friday evening, I sent out a few emails just for some people in church to volunteer and to help. You know, we have a mission team and I think they're not really going to work that hard here, but they're really going to work hard this next week. But don't tell them, please. But I sent out a few mails and just asking people in church, listen, can you please volunteer, just help to show people where to sit, be ushers, welcome people at the doors and stuff like that. And it was such a blessing for me just to see the response from people in church, the way they said, Pastor, just let me know when and where we should be, and we will help. And that is always such a blessing, just to see people being part of church helping. What I have on my heart today is, many of you, some of you might have been here last week when Pastor Mac was preaching, you know, and sometimes, you know, when you're in a conversation, someone will say something that you wanted to say, and then you think like, oh, they just said what I wanted to say. Now, I had that kind of that feeling last week, because 2 weeks ago in intercession, I remember me and Prisca, you know, we got the same word, basically the same thing. I feel the Lord has shown us that I need to share on. And then last week when Pastor Mac was here talking about love, and as he went on about 15 minutes into the sermon, I thought like, he stole my sermon somehow, because he's using a lot of the things I wanted to say. That's the thing. I also came to that conclusion. So I really feel we need to stand still a little bit, and I'm going to use one or two of the scriptures that he has used as well last week. And I think it's so in line with our hearts for the Ablaze Conference. If you haven't registered yet or you have any difficulty in any sense, please speak to me afterwards, send me an email or an SMS, call me in the week, that we can talk about it. We really want everyone to be here and to be part of what will be happening. But the scripture, the main scripture that we have for the conference is James 3 verse 5. And James is one of those books that we don't that often preach on. And sometimes I think it's quite odd, Jesus' brother only getting this small part in scripture to write. I think he had a lot to say. I wish he could tell us a little bit more about Jesus, especially him growing up and stuff like that. Must have been interesting to hear that. But it's about the tongue and how powerful the tongue is. And you know, the scripture is James 3 verse 5. Okay, we're not going to have it right there. I think I've got it here somewhere. But basically, it's about a small fire. How small a fire can set ablaze such a big forest. You know, and I believe it's in line with the message I'm going to share today. It's something in our hearts where I really trust for, as we were worshiping, you know, I just felt so much confirmation for that. And listening to the testimonies of some of you guys, really something you can take here in Windhoek this time of the year, and just one piece of grass, you can lit it, and then within hours a massive area can be in flames and stuff. But obviously in our context, we want it in our hearts. We want to be with a passion for Jesus, you know, and for the people around us. So before I say too much, I just want to start off with reading one of the scriptures Pastor Mac borrowed from me last week. That's from John 13 verse 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then the second scripture I want to read is from Matthew 22 verse 37 to 40, and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And what we felt that morning is, you know, I believe if I look to small groups, to ministries, to church, to the photos, many of those you'll see around, I feel our relationships in church are quite healthy. They're quite strong. You can see the fruits of that. Many times you will hear people in church doing things together, spending time together, fellowshipping together. But that second part, you know, the, let's say, relationships to the outward side, to the outside of church, you know, to people that's not similar than us in many ways, you know. I feel that the Lord really wants us to work a bit on that, that we can really increase in that, that we can really become a bit stronger on that. Now, it says here in verse 39, and a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that isn't as easy always as it seems to be. I think it was about a month ago, it was the Saturday evening, and you know, I go to bed quite early on Saturdays, and I remember the people next door, they had a big braai there, and they were drinking a lot of alcohol, and I thought, like, I really hope they don't continue past 8 o'clock, that they just go somewhere to town or wherever. And about 10 o'clock, you know, I was thinking about getting eggs out of the kitchen and throwing it at them, just to give them the message, listen, I don't like what you're doing, you are selfish, the rest of the neighborhood doesn't want to listen to your music and your stupid jokes and stuff, okay? But I didn't do it. I just did nothing except to pray. I really prayed to God and said, God, just take them away or something. But you see, sometimes our neighbors are people that have different hobbies, they live differently. And, you know, now we see here in Scripture, and the important thing is, you know, we must come in line with what Scripture says. If it says here, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that person that's stealing my sleep at 11 o'clock at night, and I, in my opinion, being selfish, you know, I should love them as myself. That's not that easy sometimes, you know. But I think, so we all have issues with our neighbors from time to time. But there's something that we always want to change the neighbors and go over to the neighbors and tell them, listen, don't do this, don't do that, start doing this, start doing that. Okay, but many times something in our own hearts must change as well. Just to, if you look at that context, Jesus was speaking and you might think that or argue, well, he was probably speaking to Jews, they had the same culture, they had the same religion. It couldn't have been that tough, you know. But where we stand today, every person, whether they're in Australia or in North America or Europe or Siberia or wherever, you know, any person can be your neighbor. And the thing is, if we look at the gospel, you know, I want to read you Matthew 28:19. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Okay? Not just some nations, but all the nations. In Acts 1 verse 8 we see, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Okay? That message must reach everywhere. And then in 1 Timothy 2 verse 3 to 4, this is good and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we can say today, the person next door, the person in the street, the next city, the next continent, whatever, you know, the gospel must go everywhere. It's for every person, you know. So I want to, the biggest part of what I want to share with you today is I'm going to go to the parable of the Samaritan. We always talk about the Good Samaritan, but Scripture does talk about the Samaritan. So I want us to look a little bit at that, and then I want the Word to minister to us because I believe there's a lot in it for us. So it's quite a long piece of Scripture. I'm going to read it to you. You can follow there. It's going to be on the next slide. I'm going to read you from Luke 10 verse 25 onwards. You see, yep, you've got it there. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Just get the next part of that. Verse 30, Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. With which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. I just love the way Jesus has this way of talking to people. Okay? This guy starts off by asking a question, and then Jesus says to him, listen, how do you see it? And then the guy gives the correct answer. Okay, Jesus says, good, do that and you shall live. Okay, but then the guy wants to do, he wants something else. He's got something he wants to get out of it. Okay, and then he asks Jesus, so who is my neighbor? So usually when you ask something like that, you can say, who is my neighbor? Who's not my neighbor? You know, because this guy probably wants to know, where can I draw the line? Who is the guy I can say, this guy I will have compassion and I will love him as myself, but that people, those guys who make music at 11 o'clock at night, they can't be my neighbor. They are bad. Please tell me I don't have to love them as myself. Now, the wonderful thing with Jesus is he doesn't just say to the guy, listen, everyone is your neighbor. He starts to tell a story. Okay, he doesn't just give it straightforward. He starts to tell a story. And then he tells about the Levite and the priest and the Samaritan. Okay, and Jesus is building, the story, and he's setting it up for like a shocker in a sense. Because culturally, you know, this story is bad for in the context, you know, because the Jews and the Samaritans, they weren't like good friends. You guys are in Hatia S. To who's your the people you have interschools against? VRS. Do you love them? Okay, you're Christians, you will. Of course you will. But you're good people. And maybe I must ask someone else. But you know what I mean. Sometimes you say, I don't like the other school. They are opposition. We play hockey or rugby or netball against them. You know, and you have this type of a rivalry. So they had the same thing. The Jews and the Samaritans, they had this rivalry. And as Jesus was telling this story to this Jewish lawyer, you know, the first person, the priest and the Levite, those are the people that were the good guys, the people that's supposed to help this fellow Jew who's lying there half dead. But what did they do? They walked by. Maybe they were scared of the robbers might still be there. Maybe they thought like, "Ugh, this guy is a mess. You know, he's full of blood and half dead. I'm not going to help." I don't know what the reason was. But Jesus made it clear that the people who were supposed to be his neighbor, they walked past. And then the Samaritan, the person who's the less likely to help, that person stopped, put the hurt man on his animal, that means he was walking the rest. He took him to an inn, he bound his wounds, you know, the wine and the oil, that was medicine, that the medicine value of making the wounds clean. And then he booked him into the inn, and then he even said, listen, to the innkeeper, if there's any more expenses, I will pay. It's not like just stopping with the guy, yes, friend, are you okay? You know, he did a lot more than that, okay? So then Jesus stopped, and he said the story, and he asked the guy, so who do you think? Who do you think was the guy who showed the neighborly heart? And I think the lawyer, it must have been so hard for him to give the answer. He didn't even say the words, the Samaritan. He just said, the one who showed him mercy. It's like, I'll give you the answer because I can see what you mean, but it's almost too hard to say that. And I think sometimes in life we are similar. You know, it was so good to hear your testimony, you know, pray for your enemies. Many times we love the people that are like-minded, that's in the same type of church, the same type of school, the same type of, have the same type of friends and stuff, but people that's different in many ways. We had a testimony of Johnny in the first church service just sharing how he drove two times past a lady and he didn't stop because he felt he didn't have time and stuff. And the third time, you know, he knew it was someone in need, and then the Holy Spirit really just convicted him to stop and make time for that person. Okay? And it was so precious to hear that, because I think what this lawyer wanted to hear, he wanted Jesus to say something, because he already got the answer. Because the place where he's talking from, he's talking about eternal life. What can I do? Now, we know we don't have to do anything. We should just stand in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I think what he wanted to hear, Jesus must have said something to him like, you must just love your family and your friends and your fellow lawyers or whatever, and then you'll... those are your neighbors. And then he will say something like, but I do love all of them. And then Jesus will say something like, okay, but awesome, you're a great guy. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't tell him, just love your friends and your family and the people in your street. He gave this example of someone who's like an arch enemy to them. Culturally, they didn't mix. Okay? And he gave this example of these people that were supposed to help, who just walked past. People like me, the priest, the Levite, many of us, you guys, you lead worship, you pray as well, okay? Missing the mark, and then someone who wasn't supposed to do it, that person making the time. So I really believe, friends, for us, that is something special, you know. If we can turn that question around, who is my neighbor? You know, the question he was asking Jesus, we should actually ask it the other way around. How can I be a loving neighbor? Okay? And not say, listen, I don't like the way you dress. I don't like the music you listen to. I don't like this. I don't like the way blah, blah, blah. You know, all those type of things. My kids are 3 and 4 and 5 years old, and I just heard the other day the one was fighting with the other one, and then he just said blah, blah, blah back. So I don't know what it means. They probably hear it at school. Me and my wife will never talk like that. We are very biblical people. But the thing is, you know, that Samaritan, you know, we didn't know exactly who he was and stuff. But the fact of the matter is, he stopped. He showed mercy. He had compassion. If I can ask you a question, who else in Scripture had that heart? Who else in Scripture? Now you know the answer. You're not going to... I know Wari knows the answer. I want someone who's still in school to give me the answer. The Samaritan had compassion. He had mercy. Who else in Scripture makes us... that think of Jesus. Of course, Jesus. Jesus was also walking and stopping and saying, saying that, you know, he also saw people and he had compassion for them. Paul is telling me I must rush my sermon a little bit, so I will just have to do that to make the mark. But let me read to you, Jesus is the correct answer, and we see here in Matthew 9, verse 35. 238, let me read to you. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, like the Samaritan, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest." Okay? And that is so beautiful. I many times I thought about a scripture and I see Jesus standing there. You know, now that's, if those of you have got a reference to a farm, someone left the gate open and now in the road, there's just sheep or goats or cattle walking. No one there to look after them. And Jesus probably had this thing like, the people's leaders have deserted them. The shepherds are gone. Okay? And these people are like vulnerable. And he's looking to them and he's having compassion. And now he tells his own disciples, listen, you better pray for people to bring in this harvest. Because guess what? The harvest is ready. We don't have to wait longer. Nothing, we don't have to wait longer. And as it was ready 2,000 years ago, it's still ready today. So the thing is, up to that place in Matthew 9, we see Jesus was doing all the ministry. He was laying on hands, he was praying, he was healing, he was teaching. And he says, listen guys, we must now get more laborers. And he made a promise to them. He said something in Matthew 4 verse 19. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now those guys knew about catching fish. Catch a fish, take it home, put it over the coals or however, and that's your food. Okay, so Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And he said, and now he says to them, listen, now I'm going to get you involved. Now I'm going to send you out. Just after this, in chapter 10, we will see Jesus sent out the disciples for the first time. And we also, that call is still standing for all of us today. So, to cut it short, it's important for us as a church, for each and every one of us as an individual, whether you're at school, working, your family life, married life, wherever, you know, that first of all, we can have that heart of the Samaritan. That we can be like the good Samaritan. That we won't in life walk around and say, he's my neighbor, not my neighbor. That's my neighbor, that's not my neighbor. This person I've got time for, that one maybe a little bit, and that one, nah, I don't like that guy. Just a lot of issues. Walk away. Okay? That we don't have that heart. That we have a heart of the Samaritan that will stop and see this person is spiritually broken, this person is emotionally broken, or physically hurt, or whatever the pain might be, that we will be open and sensitive to see the people around us, and that we will bring them in. Just as Jesus has said, listen, the harvest is ready. The harvest doesn't always mean perfect Christians coming into church, giving big tithes, and bringing their their skills and stuff into church. No, it means messed up people like me and you sometimes. People that we need to pull out of the ditch. People that's there bleeding. People that's going to die. Okay? So it's something really serious. So I want to, I'm not preaching a message today where I want to say to you, you will and you shall and you are going to right now. Because I don't feel like it's something we can force people to do. But I do see it in Scripture. And I believe our hearts must, I preach a sermon, I think it was in February, about is there place in your heart, you know? And this is kind of similar. It's something to say, listen, what is in your heart? Is there place for that lost person? Is there place for that person that needs a Samaritan? And are you ready to say, Amen, Lord, I will do it? Can we all stand, please? As we close our eyes, I just want to read one last scripture to you. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 to 15. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ, to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Father God, this morning we come to You, Father, and we want to say, Lord God, as a church and as individuals, Lord, that we want to be like clay, Lord God, that we will allow You to form us, to open up our eyes, Lord God. And Father, wherever we go, that we will be that sweet aroma, that we will be that sweet smelling fragrance, Lord God, of Christianity, Lord God, of people that have the gospel in their hearts, Lord God. And I pray, Father God, that yes, God, Lord, that it will be something burning in our hearts, Lord God. Something where we can just, that we want to run with. Something like where we want to shout, Lord God. And I, yes, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that every hardness of heart, every veil that we have, Lord God, Father, please remove that. Father, that we can look around us and have compassion for every person, Lord God, who hasn't have a spiritual address, a place where they belong, who doesn't have a testimony yet, people that's deceived or whatever, Lord God. And Father, that we will love them, that we will tenderly work with them, Lord God. And Father, that we will usher them into the kingdom, Lord Jesus, and that You will save them and change them, Lord Jesus. And Father, that we can just be harvesters, Lord God, that we can be laborers, Lord God. Father, I pray from here onwards, Lord God, that this will not just be a scripture to us, that it won't be just like a word to us, but Father, that it will be something that will be heavy in our hearts. Father, as You said, we must go to all the nations, go to all the ends of the earth, and that every person should come to the knowledge of Christ, Lord God. Thank You for the privilege, Lord God, for involving us in this call, Lord God. Father, in our hearts, Lord, I trust, Lord God, that we will just that we will put up our hands and say, yes, Lord, use me. Because I know, Father, every time that we say yes, You will use us. Please prepare our hearts, Lord, and during this week as we prepare for the Ablaze Conference, I pray that small fire will become something that will set a light, set ablaze, Lord God, this city, this nation, Lord God, that we will not just think because we're 100 or 120, we are small, but we have what it takes. We have the gospel. Thank You for sending us out. In Jesus' name. If you are here this morning, I don't want you to respond right now, to come forward or anything. But as you stand here, I know the youth, you guys must go. You must go back to this, to the rest. I just want you to go back and go and read this parable again, okay? And just see the heart of that. That's in Matthew 9:36. Just go and read it at home. And just as this man has shared this morning, just ask the Holy Spirit, where do You want to send me? Where do You want me to minister? God will equip you. Okay, so that's your homework for this week. Okay, and then lastly, if there's anyone here in the house and you still have time to stay behind, I really want to ask you, if you've got anything in your heart, something that you feel you need to respond to, something that you want to be prayed for, the mission team is standing here with me. We would love to pray with you. Amen. So you must have a wonderful Sunday. Be blessed. We're looking forward.